Matthew 25:14. Are you there? For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto him them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So we're talking about tapping the glory. And these verses, I guess at first might seem a little odd, talking about the glory. But we're building a foundation so that you can function properly in seeking the Lord as we move forward into these awakening days. I want to make sure that you have the right revelation and information and knowledge that you need. So you remember last week we talked about the fact that you have an anointing. That's your identity. It's yours all the time. And then there's the glory realm, which comes in when an atmosphere is created. And so, but you need to understand, because a lot of people are like, well, you know, when the glory comes, you don't need the anointing. Well, you need the anointing when you're at HEB. Yeah. You need the anointing. Yeah. And I think I gave the example. There's a lot of times when I've gone to preach places where by the time they finish the worship, it didn't do a thing for me because they were singing all the soul songs. You know, not soul songs, but songs about how God will help me make it through everything and all that stuff, you know. So just by faith, you get up there and you flow in your gifts. You better get that, preachers, because when you get out there, you're going to be faced with that. I've been in every culture. And you go into those cultures and it's really different. But you smile and do your job and love and enjoy their culture. But you're going to preach what you can get in your gifts by faith. So anyway, that was free. I just wanted to say that. So, but what happens in these verses here is the Lord's given 5 talents to one, 2 to 1, and then another. And we just looked at, you know, what's glaring at us here is that the 5, it's grace, it's fivefold ministry. So, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors. And so, but what we looked into from there is that it said he gave some apostles, some gifts, some of each. And you notice the word some. So then not everyone's operating in the same level. It doesn't mean anyone's lesser. It just means you operate in different anointings, right? And so, but we all have some. And so in that verse, it said, according to your several ability. And ability is defined as possessing the necessary qualities to carry out an action. So it can be competence or a talent or a skill that helps you flow through this. And everyone doesn't have the same talent, obviously, but we all have something. Some can move in all 5, some in 2, some in only 1. And then, of course, we're just talking about the fivefold there. But then there are the gifts of the Spirit, the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And what we see is that the Holy Spirit gives those out. And then there are the motivational gifts, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, prophecy, mercy, and leadership. These are all very important gifts. And they're written in the book. And so motivational means that you have a bent for that. You know, have you ever noticed some people are just leaders? Some people just know how to manage things. I tell you, I've come up with all these ideas, and as soon as I tell them to Danny, she says, now. If you want to do this, we'll have to do this, 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 and this. I'm like, oh, okay. So, but she's the manager. She gets that. You know, this is what we have to do. This is going to go here. It's going to go here. If you're going to do things legally, you're going to have to do this and that. And she's right. But so it's real natural for her. And I think we all have leadership skills. Some people just have more management than others do. You know, they like it. I mean, you put Danny and Debbie Clark together and they're talking about numbers and all their columns and all that. And we're like going, can we sing Kumbaya or something? You know, But, you know, you have these things, and we're grateful for all of them. So, and all of these things come from the Spirit of God, and all of them need to be stewarded. Now, the anointing is the currency of God. I know you know faith is, but the anointing is as well. And so you really won't do much for the kingdom of God if you don't have some anointing. It's important that you flow in the anointing, because the Holy Spirit knows a whole lot better than you do, a whole lot more than you do, and he's a whole lot more powerful than you are. So it's important to have the anointing. So see, you're sitting here right now, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, most of you are. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have certain gifts, and so those gifts, when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, those gifts, some of them were appointed to you. Some people don't have them yet, but as we go, you will. Some new ones might show up in your life. God may use you in some of those nine gifts at different times, but they're there for you. They're there for you. And then everybody in here has the motivation gifts, but they all have to, once again, they have to be stewarded. So, you're hardwired with the motivational gifts. You just are. It's what it is. The gifts of the Spirit are imparted. The motivational gifts are hardwired. So you have a unique motivational gift, and then you're able to receive the gifts of the Spirit to advance God's love, build his kingdom, heaven on earth. That's what we're looking for. So these are the things, the makeup that's in us. You're called to be anointed and release gifts. Amen. That's your calling. You're called to be a blessing. Okay. Some are called to be the gift and discover that they've been born into ministries, apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor, those things. Now, there are anointings. There are impartations, and there are mantles. Sometimes people get these all mixed up, and I understand why. I've researched them and looked at them and prayed about them, and I have as much clarity as I know on that I have right now in enlightenment. So I'm going to give you what I know. You carry certain anointings. You can carry certain anointings by association. There's people who are anointed that rub off on you. And you have that by association. We pick up anointings and spiritual mannerisms from our leaders and teachers, and those who, that we spend time with. You're gonna pick up certain ways that they flow. We pray like Sister Hammond. If you're a thermostat, you hear that. It's a busy highway with all kinds of stuff coming in, and we unite together, and that's how we pray like that. So, yeah, things like that. David tells me that sometimes it looks like I'm walking like Brother Hagin up here. Well, he's rubbed off on me. Yeah. And I know I needle the crowd like Brother Copeland.
Yeah.
Amen. Deb agrees with that. Praise the Lord. So there's different things that you do that are impartations. And are things that are like other people that you know. God can anoint you in certain areas so you can move through his plan of life. That's what you're doing here. Now, there are impartations. God often uses prophets to impart and encourage people in their gifts and their callings. And you'll get called out. It's a time when you're called out. And pastors do this. And sometimes spiritual mentors will do that. And so you get called out, and you begin to work on these things and answer the calls. Paul said that. He said, I long to come and impart a gift to you. Remember that? I think he was talking to the Romans, I believe. And he talked about, I really long to come do this. I want to impart something. So he's going to release something, on people. And, you know, some impartations come fully formed. Once an impartation is received, it's a job of the recipient to start stewarding the gift. You start working with it. You start studying. You start going the way the Lord leads you with the gift. And many people think exercising the gift. Now, listen to me. I want you to get this really clear. Many people think that exercising the gift means going out and ministering and laying hands on people and prophesying over the people. That is not true. That is not how you exercise the gift. Exercising the gift or the impartation involves building up and developing the anointing through fasting and praying and speaking in tongues and worship. That's how you're going to build your gift. It's not going to come by practicing everything. It's going to come by what you're filling yourself full of. Because Holy Spirit, if you got Holy Spirit, He's going to help you get the job done. You just have to be available. But that's where you have to become intimate with God and work with Him and get filled with the Word and pray and worship. And that's how you build up your gifts. So get that out of your thinking. If you're like, man, if Pastor would just let me start preaching something, I could practice my skills. Well, get in your prayer closet. Give up some Twinkies for a week. Whatever it is. Might want to give those up for good. But praise the Lord. I won't meddle in your business here. Okay. Now, so these principles, if you'll do this, if you'll worship God at your house, in your car, every few minutes maybe, you're just lifting up a tune to Him a little bit or just saying, Lord, You're good. Thank You, You're good. Glory to God. And then you spend some time praying in the Spirit. You spend time in the Word, studying things in the Word. Then these very principles are the things that send what I'm going to call growth hormones to the baby, to the gift. It's sending growth hormones to your baby, this thing you're carrying, and you begin to do it better. You'll begin to flow the way you want to flow with it. So, you get in there and you're gonna have full term birthing if you'll do these things. You're not waiting for an opportunity to jump up or chase somebody down in the parking lot and give them a word. That's not it. You build that thing up and God's gonna move you and put you in places where you can be used in the gifts. Amen. A lot of times, what I see a lot out on the street is, hey, how are you doing? You having a good day today? Hey, I just want you to know that the Lord loves you. Hey, you know, I'm just picking up from the Lord that you've been dealing with such and such. Can I pray for you for that? I think your right shoulder, that's my left, your right shoulder might be, and they'll go, oh, how'd you know? There's your gifting working. Right? You don't have to be in the stadium. You may be one day, but you don't have to be. Amen. Okay. Now, so you just keep it up. So you can't really help anybody if you have an empty tank. You got to do something. Okay. Now, mantles. So we've anointing, association, praying in the Spirit, same skills, impartation, same skills, except for someone's going to come along and impart something to you. And then here's mantles. So they're passed down. But I would not suggest that you go around saying that you have Catherine Kuhlman's mantle. Because somebody already has it. Who has it? Anybody know? Benny Hinn has it. If you could, Miss Edders had a certain anointing. McPherson picked up that mantle. Catherine Kuhlman picked it up from her, and Benny Hinn picked it up from her. And when I say pick it up, God designed that. God did that. Benny served Catherine Kuhlman. Catherine Kuhlman went to Amy, and Amy went to Miss Edders. So you see that, and it wasn't just, I'm going to drop by and I need you to give me your mantle. That is not happening. I'm going to go to Prayer Mountain and Miss Billy Brim, I'm going to get her mantle. No, you're not. You get what I'm telling you. I'm just trying to teach you, don't be casual about mantles. This is, it's important that you know that this is something different. This is something that, we could name several people and you could see that their mantles moved from them. Reinhard Bonnke picked up a mantle from Jeffries, right? George Jeffries. And so he prayed for him right before he died. It's a really cool story. Y'all want me to tell you? So, Reinhard Bonnke is a very young man, and he's just finishing schooling, isn't he? He's just finishing schooling, and he's in the town where Jeffries lives, and he walks by a mailbox, and he says, man, I wonder if that's really George Jeffries. Is he still alive? I wonder if he is. And he goes, like any, teenager would, I'm just gonna go find out. So he knocks on the door and a lady answers and says, is this where George Jeffries lives? And the lady says, yes. He says, could I see him? No. And then coming down the stairs is this big booming voice that says, let him in. So he lets him in. They sit down, they visit together, and Jeffries prays for Reinhard Bonnke and is a blessing, and he's released, and he goes home. And when he gets home the next day to his country, his hometown, his dad meets him at the train and says, did you hear? Brother Jeffries died. And he said, no, he didn't. I was just with him. 8 hours before Jeffrey died, he released his mantle.
Wow. Woo. Wow. Man.
That's a story.
Yeah.
So I think mantles are like, maybe like a fine garment. And they're very tailored, which God creates in a specific way for specific people. It's not something that you could go after it, but if you go after it, it really needs to be that God sent you to go after it. So it has to do with spiritual DNA and destiny and the calling that God's put on some people. So it's not their specialties that qualify them. Rather, it's this unique thing that the Father is doing with people. And I think you really need to leave that in this category. Yeah, I wouldn't be rushing around with that stuff. So I'm talking about wiring, how people are wired, how we all have our specialties. But so Elisha, now this is where we see the mantle, right? Elisha knew what he wanted, and he wanted a double portion of Elijah's spirit. He understood that there's no human agency that can make this happen. This was going to have to be God. That's why Elijah said to him, if you see me when I go, if you can see me when I go, you're going to get it. What's that all about? Because, guys, the sky lit up. The angels came, the chariot of God, the fire came. There's a lot to look at. The spectacular. But if he could keep his eyes on the right thing, and he had followed this man from place to place, he'd followed him for years. Think about this. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me see if I can reel it in just a little bit. So, I want to say this to you, and you can do with it what you want to. A mantle is a hard thing to receive. This is not just, oh, you know, it has to do with a lot more than that. So, you have to go down the road demanding and being very determined to pursue something like this. So Elijah's ministry was Elisha's for the asking as long as he stayed with Elijah to the end.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so we know in the Old Testament that we have pictures, right? Everything's a picture. So Elijah had a mantle. When he's walking down the road and he sees Elisha, he threw the mantle on Elisha. He wanted to see if it fit. Mm-hmm. Now that's just a picture of it. That's just a picture for us to be able to see. Why did he throw it over there? Because we need a picture. You're going to understand what I'm saying in just a little bit after telling you that. So It was a symbol of his spiritual mantle and his anointings. So when he met Elijah, he throws it on him, see if it's going to fit. Obviously, it did. The guy says, yeah, I'm coming with you. I'm coming along with you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to learn from you. I'm going to do whatever you do. And then, obviously, he gets down to getting a double portion. Elijah did 8 miracles in his ministry. Elisha did 16. Right on it. Now, so, once again, you're not going to run up to Miss Billy and say, huh? Just because she lays hands on you doesn't mean you're getting a mantle. You are getting anointing. You could get an impartation. I'm not saying that ministries aren't passed on, but it's not always just by asking. This has to be God-ordained thing. So you, but you can ask for a double portion of anointing. You can do that. But what are you really asking for then? You're asking, you know, if you're trying to get someone's mantle, you're asking them to pass on all the time they spent with the Lord, all of their history they spent in the Word. Think about that. You're asking everything they put in their spirit, you're asking for it. Now, whereas you can pick up a lot of that, the lot can be imparted to you, you're going to have to steward some things on your own. So if you actually do get a mantle from someone, you're going to be busy. And it's, you go, yes, I'll be busy traveling the world. No, you're going to be busy in the prayer closet and giving up Twinkies. Saying. Someone is going to come up to me or write and say, I had a Twinkie habit. You can leave them on the shelf. They won't go bad. They have a 25-year shelf life. Anyway, okay. So what you really want is power. That's what you really want. You want some power. So you could just, you can have the power of the Holy Ghost. You can have a double portion of the Holy Ghost. The double portion Elijah asked for was of the Holy Ghost on Elijah. And he felt like he could just press a little further with that because he spent time with Elijah. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on people. And in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is freely given. And in the days to come, the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out on everyone. Y'all believe that? The Holy Spirit's going to be poured out more than ever. And so having these things working from the Holy Spirit is a good thing. So maybe what you really want, what you're really asking for is not a mantle, but a double portion of the Holy Ghost. And that would be a really good thing to have. Thank you, Jesus. Being clothed in the Holy Spirit could mean wearing a mantle of God. And it could be a mantle of fire. Yeah. But you're going to have a huge responsibility with that. Well, Pastor, you're just trying to shoo us away from this? No, I'm setting you up for the days to come. You're going to want to operate correctly in these things. So you have to give respect for these different things and know how they work for you. Just don't be so loose about it. Yeah. People are like, I'm a prophet. Oh, yeah, right. You know, that's something that you could be a prophet, but it's going to be because someone who's in authority called you a prophet, not because you decided yourself. If you think you are one, you better wait till you hear it from your leader's mouth. That's just the way it works. You just don't need to self-proclaim. Okay. So, you know, Jesus couldn't promise the sons of Zebedee that they would sit at the right hand or the left. He couldn't promise that. They directly ask him, where are we going to sit with you in the heavenly realm? And he couldn't promise that. That wasn't his to promise. He couldn't do it. But he did promise them a great ministry. And it went with a great price. It came at a great price. But he's offering us the same thing. He's offering us that double portion. Y'all are quiet. But this is right. So the fire of God, the anointing of God, the impartations of God, the gifts of God, the Holy Spirit all belongs to you. Whether you're a fivefold minister or not would be what you were called from the womb. Whether you get a mantle is something that God would call you to. That's just not your decision.
Yeah.
I will have to say that God calls people, and Catherine Kuhlman was number four. Was she the fourth person called to that, I believe? Because people said no to it. They didn't want to pick up the mantles. Some people don't want to do it. Some people get offered positions and they're not going to do it, and then God will call the next person. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I was not number one called to bring the word of faith to this city. I probably was not number one, but I was one who would come. And so praise the Lord. Y'all get that? All right. So, if you were going to go after this, how far would you go? What are you willing to do? Are you ready to receive the fire of God? The last person I read about, when the fire of God came on them, they didn't sleep for 3 days. Their body shook. Are you ready for something like that? Two people are. I mean, it's okay if you're not. You have time to get ready, but it is something to think about. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that. I'm just trying to give you a sense of that you can't be casual about just every single thing. I'm this and I'm that and I'm going to do this. Just follow the Holy Ghost. Just follow the Holy Ghost and follow leaders. And that's right. And don't be pronouncing a lot of things. Just let it come. I remember I was sat in a meeting and I mean, I was just loving Brother Copeland. So I was telling everybody I knew that God was good, you know, but I was just a girl with the Holy Ghost. And people started coming to our house, and we ended up with 47 people, I think, filled up our living room. We had a piano in there. Debbie Clark's over there playing the piano, and we ended up with the band. I mean, we had a whole thing going on, but we weren't intending to be a church or anything. And then so Deb was like, well, I'm going to this church over here. Well, first we tried to go to Tree of Life, and we just didn't fit. And so we tried to go to this church with this lady prophet. And the first time I sit in there, and I'm sitting where Jesse is, I'm sitting right there, she walks right up to me and says, you're a teacher and a prophet. And I'm like, look at it about. I don't know any of this stuff, you know. And so did I go out? Okay, now that lady said I'm this. I just let it go. I didn't know anything about it. Never spoke about prophet until Pastor John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never did. Yeah. And I said, he said, if you're not, I don't know who is. You know, and so, I mean, he had to work with me for a long time about it. But these things you have to, and there's all different levels. People do different things. Obviously, I'm not a prophet to the world or even America. You know what I mean? But so you have to learn where you are, and you have to let God guide you into that. Is this interesting to anyone? All right. So we'll talk more about it, but I just don't want us to be too casual about that. So I would say that if we want to be real simple about it, now let me just say it like this, just to be real simple about it. We could say, the person who receives another person's mantle will operate in the same giftings and have the same similar battles. It's a pattern. It's a pattern. The same enemy comes after those particular gifts. And so all of the people that I mentioned earlier dealt with heart trouble and divorce. All of them. The only thing is Benny won. He broke it. He broke it. So thank you, Jesus, for that. So anyway, I think that's kind of interesting. And so they will have a tendency to flow in the spirit like that person. They'll see results like that person if they do what the other person did and build on the history of it. What did Elisha say? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? He immediately referred back to his leader and then walked across and took off. Interesting fact when you think about it. Here comes Gehazi, or you may call him Gehazi, whatever you want to call him. He failed. Elisha's bones were in the ground, still anointed. Remember when the guy threw the body on him, the bones were anointed. Gehazi didn't pick up the mantle. He was too busy wanting to do it his way. I don't care about your heritage. We're going to do this. We're going to get these goods here. That'll preach right there. Okay, so now, I just said all of that to just try to help you think through that. I'm not trying to nail everything down solid, but I believe we're pretty close to walking right down the line when we talk about this, just trying to give you the feeling of it. Now, we're headed into places of glory, so I want to step into this a little bit. The glory is a realm. It's supernatural. You can't see it with your eyes, always. Sometimes you can. So now there's going to be manifestations that come, but I want you to hear me about something. It starts with you seeing with the eyes of your heart. The Apostle Paul said, may the eyes of our, what? Understanding be enlightened. That's your heart. You have to see with the eyes of your spirit. You have to hear with your spirit. And I'm going to walk through something a little bit, and I'm believing you're going to pick this up. Because you have a spiritual perception that you have to get into. Every born-again believer has two sets of eyes, two sets of ears. You have all of these senses, and they're spiritual senses. And so what does that look like? I'm going to tell you what it looks like, and you're going to have to shake your head a little bit here now, okay, and think about this. It looks like imagination. That's what it looks like. It looks like imagination. Now, how does that work? Well, let me say it to you this way. It looks like sanctified imagination. Oh, yeah. Sanctified imagination. It's clean. It's clear. It's coming from God. It's coming from heart to mind, not you thinking it up with your mind. Okay. But it's imagination. Your imagination is a good thing. Church, don't let New Age steal our stuff. Right. Extract the precious from the weird. Extract the precious.
Yes, that's good.
We don't believe in the universe making the choices. God Almighty did it. But there's things that they actually believe that Christian people won't get into because they're so afraid that they'll get of course. They'll get deceived. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about that just for a minute in a second here. But you actually use your mind to see something that's unreal. And I'm not talking about seeing devils. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about worshiping God and connecting with Him. It's something you experience. It doesn't come from your mind, and you develop the capacity to think with God, to have the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. People say, "Yo, well, just watch out, you're going to get an error over that stuff." Listen, I agree. There is absolute danger, if we imagine some things. But there's also danger of missing out on an incredibly powerful, godly experience.
Wow.
Because of fear of being deceived.
Yeah.
Christians are so strange when you say stuff like, our body's electric. Huh? we have all these pressure points and all this. Watch out for that kinetic stuff. Church, God is kinetic. We are built on we're built a certain way. We have an electric flow in our body because we were made from light speed.
That's good.
I'm going to tell you this. My spirit has been made alive. My mind is washed in the Word. Holy Spirit dwells in me, and He can lead me, and Scriptures can activate my imagination.
Amen.
And then I'll be all right. If you stay with the Word, you're going to be all right. Just don't go deciding something that isn't in the Word. That's the point. Okay. Now, remember Zechariah's flying squirrel?
Yes.
Okay, you do? Everybody went, huh? Zechariah's flying squirrel. Okay, well, God was talking to the prophets here, and he called, the prophets were calling Israel to imagine the judgment coming on them if they didn't return to the covenant, and to imagine the blessings that were on them. So here comes a flying squirrel. That was it. They were to imagine this thing. You see what I'm saying? And that would help them come into, he was talking in pictures. So he was hoping that the information or the revelation on this flying scroll, as it was, and the mental pictures would cause them to go to repentance. He wanted them to repent. So if they saw this certain thing, it could help them get to where they were going. That's how the prophets had to operate. Can I tell you, that's how you have to operate. The Bible's going to give you pictures. We were talking today, we had a big discussion about Jesus turned the water to wine and how that's really about all this stuff we're just talking about right here, about how Mary did it. She had to get him out of time. He was like, it's not my time. She had to get him out of time. She had to, she said, focus on him, do what he says. There's all these points in there that'll lead you up to exactly what we're talking about right now. I don't have time to go into it, but we saw the picture of it. You start seeing these pictures. My point is the imagination, listen, it's an access point. It's an access point for the Lord to reach us just like language and music are. The imagination will help you do it. Don't be foolish with it. But you can have a scriptural imagination.
Yes.
Some of the best Bible teachers have that. Because when they study the Word, they see they're right there in the press behind. They see, oh, there goes Jairus. There's Jesus. Oh, here comes the woman with the issue. Uh-oh, she's, you know, they're looking at the picture of it. Amen. Remember, we're talking about tapping the glory here. The question is, who initiates our heavenly experiences? Who does that? Is it us? Is it God? Let me just say, this is what I can tell you about that. We make ourselves available.
Yeah.
And so God can communicate with us.
Right.
Imagination is an access point. Worship is an access point.
Yeah.
Right? Spirit prayer praying in the Spirit is an access point. And then music and language take us to the access points. Music is not worship, but it is the vehicle for the worship. Okay. But that gets us to an access point. We're saying we're available to you, Lord. And then He responds and brings in whatever He wants to. You think about it, people will have in worship, and when it gets really glorious, people will come say, I saw an angel in the service. What happened to them? They have used their mind in the right way so that they can see.
Yeah.
They accessed God so that they could see. Y'all get that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, Pastor, I thought we'd just keep going along and the glory would come and it's going to break through and signs and wonders and miracles and they're just going to start happening. We're going to have a revival and then we're going to have a renewal and then we're going to have an awakening and then fire is going to shoot out of the top of building and then gems are going to fall and then the gold is going to break forth and then the oil is going to start pouring out of us. And you know what? All of that's possible.
Yeah.
If we're available. If we're available, why would we want any of that? Signs and wonders are for people who need to have them. And also because God wants to love you.
That is right.
He wants to get close to you. And the thing about it is his love begins to manifest and these things start coming forth because you let him in.
Yes.
And he's full of these wonderful things and they'll begin to come over into this side. Just like healing does.
Yes.
So we have to be available for that.
Yeah.
We have to be pointed about that. The question is, will you? Because it's real easy to come on Wednesday night and say, Pastor's going to do the work. We just sit here. If I get a little sleepy, I'll nod off for a minute, but I'll be back. Right? Pastor will do. What if Pastor just laid down on the front bench here? Oh, Chelsea, what you want to? We're all called to make ourselves available in this 1 hour. And if we'll do that, if we'll think about that when we are worshiping, if we'll think about that when we are pulling on the anointing, when we are praying, if we think about what we're actually doing, how we're making supply, the glory will manifest. Like, well, we just need to let God do what he wants to do. Yes, we make ourselves available so God can do what he wants to do. So you can get an impartation. So you can have more anointing. So you can have fresh oil. So you can go out of here in victory. Do you know how clean this house is right now after we got rid of all the word curses? They had the Glory Tuesday in here in their prayer meeting. That's what Danny told me. It was so glorious. Why? Because the air is clear. We're making ourselves available to God. There's not a bunch of...
Yeah, right. Glory.
We make ourselves available. If you make yourselves available, you'll be walking around and God will say, I need you to pray for so-and-so.
Yes.
I was walking around to my closet. I have to go through my bathroom to go to my closet. And I was walking through and I heard the Lord say, help Terry. I said, okay. Which Terry? Because there are three in my life. Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson's, Pastor Terry Sparks, and Terry Foy. So I got to my closet. Which one is it? Which one is it? He said, Terry Foy, pray for her right now. So I started praying for her. Lord, to help Terry. Get about a book of just praying for her, praying for her, praying for her. So I come out and I tell Deb a few hours later. So the Lord told me to help Terry. And I knew, see, immediately I was going, do I need to sow a seed? You know, and he's like, no, I'm asking you to pray right now. So I prayed and I walk out there and I said, Deb, I was just praying for Terry Foy. She said, she's about to start a meeting in London. Why would God ask me to pray for her? Because walking in that place where you're available, where you're just available, where you'll go along. I had probably just swept the floors or fed the dogs. I'd probably been out to the garden. I don't know. And here I am walking through here. But if you'll stay in that, it's like humming all day long. You just stay in this place. And all of a sudden you'll just hear the Lord say, do this, and you could just do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, look at this.
Yeah.
Do this over here. Now, when you start doing these things and you start using your imagination, it sets you up for visions and dreams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do y'all have the visions right when you wake up in the morning? You'll have a vision sometimes. That's usually when I have my, right when I wake up, I have this vision and I go, oh, I saw a chessboard and I saw the king and nobody was on the board. Everybody's just standing off the board and they're all lined up by the king. And you can't really see anything about the rooks and the pawns and the bishops and the, knights and all that. I couldn't really see anything about them or the queen either. But I saw the king standing there and he had this perfect beard and he had his crown on and he was just standing there. And then I woke up. So I told the girls and John, I said, I saw the king. He was about to step onto the board to play the game. Now, so what do I do with that? Well, praise the Lord. I hope something good happens with it. Yeah. You continually pray about that until more comes. And then when more comes, you step out on that.
Yeah.
So I'm praying about it, but I'm not trying to force anything. And about 3 weeks later, I had a vision and the king was standing at our back fence between our property and the property next door. He was standing right there, just standing there. I was like, okay, well, what are you going to do with that? I'm going to pray. I'm going to keep praying in the spirit. He wants something done. You keep praying in the spirit. You mean he's going to tag me along like that? That's training. That's what he does. Besides that, with me, God has to tell me a little bit at a time because I'll go running with it. That's why I have Danny. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. We're going to have... Because I'm like, okay, we're going to do a victory garden and we're going to do this and we can do this. And then I said, now, Pastor, if we're going to do this, we'll have to back... We're going to have to... And I'm like, okay, we will. That's how I was doing on the inside. I was just looking at her going, okay. But on the inside, I was going, okay. Because I want to, if it's a good idea, me and John have built Rome in 20 minutes. We can do this and we can do that. And why don't we do this? Hey, let's try this. Okay. And we're just going through stuff. Trying, you know, we have a whole plan made. Sometimes we just need for someone to slow us down a little bit. Do y'all do that? Anybody? Okay. None of y'all have sinned like I have. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So here's the question. Will you be available? Are you going to be available for what's coming? Cause life can't just be about you.
True.
This world going to hell. It's gotta be about the move of God. Mm-hmm. It's gotta be about the power that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Pastor, you have that. You'll be having church every night. We'll see you on Wednesdays. I'm not doing it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh. He's like, well, it's probably not coming. It's coming. It's coming faster than you think. The Lord has been talking to me about it. It's coming. Right now, Ray Jean Wilson is baptizing people. What's it called? Pirates Cove?
Sunday,
Pirates Cove. Did y'all see that? That's where the Jesus thing happened. People are coming in to get baptized, just walking into the water, just coming in. Thousands. People, that's California.
Yeah.
We're in it.
We are.
Saying we're sitting in here at the buckle of the Bible Belt.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a lot of people around here that are already saved, but there's plenty out there. There's plenty, and there's a whole lot of people in this area, they're saved, but they need the power.
Yes.
They need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. They need to find out that God is good.
Yeah.
Who knows that?
Yeah.
We do. Not bragging. It's just where the Lord led us. We're grateful.
That's right.
He gets the glory, but we know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Larry was telling me a couple of months ago, he was talking to a friend who's a preacher. And I won't give any details, but Larry says, well, you understand this, don't you? And he's like, what are you talking about? And so Larry explained to him these things. And I think it was new to the guy. Right? So we don't know everything. There's a lot of things people can teach us.
Right.
We're not trying to say we know a lot, you know. But then again, there are things we do know. Like that every person should be baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, praying in tongues with a prayer language, not just yabba-dabba-doo, 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 you tie my tie, I tie your tie. But actually speaking and praying and carrying on a conversation in the Spirit, putting out tracts, getting things done, becoming a prophetic prayer so that things can move along. Every prophet needs prophetic prayers.
Yes.
Every church needs prophetic prayers.
Yes.
Every teacher needs somebody praying.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you and we give you glory. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing on our lives. We thank you for the impartations that we have, that we're going to receive. And we thank you, Lord, for any blockages being unblocked, unstopped in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Anyone who is paralyzed soulishly or spiritually or even has any paralysis in their body, in the name of Jesus, loose them and let them go right now in Jesus' name. You can move forward. You can do it. You can use your mind of Christ correctly. You can see things in the Spirit. You can impart things to people. You can use your anointing to change people's lives, remove burdens, and destroy yokes. We are blessed to be a blessing, and we're going to do it. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye.